Thank you, Bill. All right, we are in Genesis this morning. In Genesis, start out in Genesis chapter 13. Genesis chapter 13, we're going to start in verse 7. First of all, compromise. Compromise. To compromise is to make concessions or accommodations for someone who does not agree with a set standard of rules. Compromise. Compromise leads to all sorts of trouble. We're more apt to compromise when we're immature. Remember in school, you know, your mom and dad give you right and wrongs. But when you got into school, when you're at Central School running around in the playground and you're supposed to follow the rules as far as the teachers go, but then you're around a bunch of kids and it's not your fault that they tell you what to do. It's not your fault that they want you to do things you're not, mom and dad don't want you to do. It's not your fault. Hello. We compromise. We compromise. Because we're immature and there is peer pressure. And then you say, well, there's no such thing as peer pressure because I left junior high and there's no more such thing as peer pressure. And then we get older and we realize there's still peer pressure. And we're still apt to compromise. When we're in school, someone wants your answers off the test. You knew it was not right. I would like to say I was always on the giving end of giving answers to tests, but we compromise. And then when we compromise, and then we even give false alibis, the teacher says, well, did you give so-and-so the answers, or did you guys, no. We find ourselves in a pickle. Then we find ourselves looking over our shoulder. We find ourselves awake at night, hoping Dad does not find out. Compromise has a process. Compromise, first of all, is conflict. You know what you should do, you know what you shouldn't do, but yet you're just enticed just enough and you're vacillating back and forth. Should I, shouldn't I? Yeah, I should. It might not, it won't be that bad. And then finally there's concession. Yeah, it's going to be okay. And after we compromise and we concede, then all of a sudden, we're not bothered anymore. My buddy's got this little shepherd dog, and that dog's not supposed to take anything out of anybody else's hands except him's, except Wayne's. And so we're sitting there on the mountainside or something, and Sarah, she's running around. I just looked at you and said, Sarah, but that's the dog's name. It is the dog's name. I'm sorry. it's a great dog. Yeah. And so Sarah's running around like crazy, and then she starts to compromise a little bit, and then, you know, you can't help feel sorry for the dog. You give her a little something, and she's close to you. She's conceded that you're okay, and then all of a sudden she wiggles her hind end right to you, and she makes herself very comfortable. Because now once she's comfortable, she ain't moving. She's right where she wants to be. She's where she's supposed to be, and she is there for the long haul. But unfortunately, after the concession and after becoming comfortable with compromise, there are consequences. We're going to look at Genesis chapter 13 today. Genesis chapter 13, verse 7. And there was a strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle. And the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelled then in the land. And Abram said unto Lot, Let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we are brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, I'll go to the right. If thou depart to the right, then I'll go to the left. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan that was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest to the Zoar. Then Lot chose. Look at the word there, Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan. Uh-oh, we're going to find out what Jordan means too. That's a good word. Lot chose the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves one from the other. Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. Jordan. Now, we've looked at the river Jordan, the plain of Jordan, and things of that nature. When you look up the word Jordan, what it means in Hebrew, Jordan means descender. Descender. Lot chose the plain of Jordan. Lot chose to descend. And note also, he dwelt in the land of Canaan, Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent towards Sodom. Sodom is located on the shores of the Dead Sea. Do you see where this is going? It was a choice that Lot made. And Lot chose to descend into a life of compromise and finally end up on the shores of the Dead Sea. He says here, verse 12, dwelt in the cities of the plain and pitched his tent toward Sodom. Right here, Lot's in that conflict stage of compromise. Man, he knows that them guys are sinners. He knows he doesn't want to be near them. He knows he shouldn't be near them. So he's just going to pitch his tent toward them. He's not going to join them. He's not going to throw in with them. He's just going to pitch his tent toward them because he's still in that conflict stage. I know I shouldn't, but there are a lot of benefits down there, but I really shouldn't. You know, my Uncle Abraham wouldn't be that happy with me, but I don't know. It's awful nice down there in a lot of ways. So we see him in conflict here. Now, if you turn your Bibles to Genesis chapter 14, verse 12. We see these kings come and they take the people of Sodom away, but they not only took the people of Sodom away. In verse 12 it says, they took Lot, Abraham's brother's son, who dwelt at Sodom, and his goods, and departed. Here we see, finally, Lot had made a concession. He's finally dwelling in Sodom now. He's continuing his descent into compromise. Now let's turn our pages to Genesis chapter 19. Verse 1, and there came two angels to Sodom at even. And Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. He'd only pitched his tent. He'd only dwelt at Sodom, but now he's made himself very comfortable. It doesn't even bother him that he's now a prominent member of the community, a magistrate, if you will, who sat in the gate of the city, a person of much prominence in the city. We're in Genesis chapter 19. Now let's look at the consequences. To put things in a context here, the Lord and two angels came, and they told Abraham they're going to destroy, God was going to destroy the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah because of the wickedness there. And then we know that Abraham said, if there be, finally get him down, if there be 10 just people there, will you still destroy the city? And God said, no, I won't. But the two angels went to Lot's house to tell Lot, this is what's going to happen to the city. God's going to destroy these cities because of their evil wickedness. And so the two angels are there, and we're in Genesis chapter 19, verse 1, and he bowed himself with face toward the ground, and he said, behold, now my lords, turn in, I pray you, unto your servant's house, and tarry ye all night, wash your feet, and shall rise up early, and go on your ways. And they said, nay, but we will abide in the street all night. And he pressed upon them greatly. They turned in to him, and entered into his house. So they're in the house, the two angels. And then the men of the city had come, and they're wanting to lay, have sexual relationships with these two men. They thought they were men, but they're angels. It was an exceedingly wicked, evil city. And look what Lot says. After he was in conflict, after he compromised and conceded, now he's comfortable. And look what Lot says now in verse 8. Behold, now I have two daughters, which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and do ye do to them as it is good in your eyes. Lot's willing to give his two daughters to a bunch of strangers. That's a consequence of compromises. Others are affected. And Lot doesn't even know the difference between good and evil anymore. Finally, in verse 19, verse 14, the angels tell Lot, hey, and we know the story as far as the angels go. They put a blindness upon the men, pulled Lot in and his two daughters. They were okay. And then the angels are told Lot to tell his family because they're going to destroy the city. Tell your family and get them out of here because God's going to destroy these cities. And in verse 14 of chapter 19, and Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy out of this city. But it seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. Uh-oh. Lot completely lost his testimony. Nothing but a joke. Lot now is nothing but a joke in the eyes of his family because he chose to descend further down the slippery slope of compromise. And we're going to look this morning at this compromise that Lot made and apply it to our lives. The compromise of the believer. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this story in the Bible. And dear God, I pray that we not compromise like we do, like we have done, or like we plan to, but that we keep living for you, Lord. Dear God, forgive us. I pray, Lord, if there's one here who does not know you as Savior, that they come to know you as Savior this morning. We thank you, Jesus, for dying for us, for being buried, and for rising again after the third day. We thank you, Jesus, for saving our souls. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, amen. We looked at Genesis chapter 13. Then Lot chose him the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east. Lot had a choice. If there's one thing we leave here this morning, it's that we have a choice. No one twists our arm. No one shoves us in the corner to compromise. We compromise on our own volition. We compromise because we're more interested in fulfilling the lusts of our flesh, the desires of our flesh, than we are in fulfilling the wants and the desires of God our King, who died for us. We're a selfish bunch. And because we are selfish and we're absorbed in self-interest, we find ourselves choosing to compromise. And Lot, when he compromised, he says he separated himself from Lot. Lot chose to compromise. Lot had a choice, and he chose to separate himself from spiritual leadership. His uncle Abram, who God spoke plainly to. And when Lot separated himself from Abram, there was a problem there because now Lot is left to his own devices. And then Lot separated him from Abram, but Lot chose the plain of Jordan and descended once again into the life of compromise. And when Lot chose to compromise, Lot lost his conviction. He chose to give his daughters to the townspeople. He lost his conviction. He lost his testimony with his sons-in-law because they thought he was a big joke. Can you imagine? Hey, God's going to destroy this city. That's a good one, Uncle Lot. I remember when you used to talk about God all the time. Now look, you're just like us. Man, you're a funny man. Funny man Lot. He does it again. He lost his testimony, and then we read later on, Lot lost his wife because when they left, they were told not to look back, and Lot's wife looked back and was turned into a pillar of salt. Can we blame her? I mean, the Bible says remember Lot's wife because she disobeyed the commandment of God. But really, can we blame her? She was under the spiritual leadership of her husband. Her husband never listened to what God said. He compromised, and she's in there. Can you imagine her behind Lot all the way? I'm with you, baby, all the way. You obey God. I'm with you, baby. We're going to obey God like Uncle Abram said. And then Lot compromises. What in the world has Lot's wife got to live for? What kind of role model does she have? When she got turned into a pillar of salt, it was just as much his fault as it was her fault. He had made a mockery out of God's word and God's commandments and made a joke of what God had said because he chose to compromise. And this is also Lot not only chose to descend into compromise. He chose to separate himself from Abram. He chose the consequences to his compromise. But Lot also chose to be tormented. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 8 reads, "For that righteous man dwelling among them," speaking of Lot, "in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul." It tormented his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. Hello. We're there today, folks. We put ourselves in positions. We put ourselves in places. We put ourselves in different areas and situations that we don't belong. Guess what? We're tormented. We're ashamed. We're hoping nobody finds out. We're continually justifying our actions. And then we see different things and people using the Lord's name in vain. And we should say something, we shouldn't say something. This is happening. We shouldn't be here. And it's torture. Because we chose to compromise. Whose fault is it? Oh, it's my buddy's fault. No, I made the choice. Whose fault? Well, I can't help. Yes. It's a choice. And we choose to torment ourselves because of compromise. Notice that even though he gave his daughters away, going to give his daughters away, the townspeople, he says that for that righteous man, God's a covenant-keeping God. We're learning in Sunday school. And Lot was righteous because he put his faith in what God said. And God saved his soul. Even though he did the wicked thing sending his daughters out, the Bible still calls him a righteous man. Not because of what he did, but because of ultimately what Jesus Christ did on the cross. We see that also then Lot was rescued in Genesis chapter 14 when those kings came and took away Sodom and Gomorrah. Then Abram, who dwelt in Mamre, the plains of Mamre at that time. 2 weeks ago we looked at the plains of Mamre. Mamre means manliness. Abraham's being a man. Abraham's obeying God while Lot descends into Sodom by the Dead Sea. And so Abram comes and rescues Lot. Can you imagine? Now look, there's no secrets here. Every one of us are in this life. We know what's going on. We got to be honest with ourselves. How many times have we known someone who's saved and we decide to compromise and we sit back and justify our actions like this? Mr. Goody Two-Shoes, I don't want to live a life like that. He's not having any fun. Boy, I can't believe that they do those things. My goodness, three times a week at church. Wow. I got better things to do. Sunday school, man, that's too early. We're more willing to justify our actions by tearing someone else down. This is driving me nuts. By tearing someone else down and calling them names. And I can imagine Lot sitting in Sodom saying, my Uncle Abe, he's lame. Lame! He's not got a life. He sits up there in his tent. He thinks he's so self-righteous. Got a relationship, talking about God and all this stuff. And man, I got better things to do. But when it all comes out in the wash, who come out on top? The man did, the one living in the plains of Mamre. Abraham had to come and rescue Lot. How does all this apply to us today? Just as Lot chose the plain of Jordan and descended into a life of compromise, so can we. Maybe some of us here this morning are living a life of compromise right now. Maybe we're tormented right now and we're only in church so that we can give an air of faithfulness to show others that, you know what, we're not as bad as we're not living as bad a life as others think we are. So I'll come to church and save face a little bit. I imagine there are some in here living a life of compromise right now and are tormented day and night, knowing that you're not where you should be and doing what you should be doing for the Lord Jesus Christ. Choosing compromise starts with internal conflict. I won't go into the ins and outs of eternal conflict. Every one of us know what they are. It's the kind of TV we watch, the TV programs we watch, the computer. It could involve movies, the different things we tolerate, the places we go, the things we do when we get there. And we're conflicted. Should I or shouldn't I? We weigh it out. Yeah, I probably should because it ain't that bad. Yeah, but I'm not abstained from all appearance of evil. Yeah, but that doesn't apply on Tuesdays. Then we become complacent to the Word of God. We haven't read our Bible in a day, a week, a month. Whatever, it just doesn't have the impact it once did. And we become complacent to the Word of God and we make concessions to the world. And we concede to sin. Let me, and no one raise their hands, no one answer, but is it easier to sin or is it easier to live a Spirit-filled life? It's awful easy to sin, isn't it? It's awful easy to descend. When we're driving on Sierra here in the dead of winter, and the road's got a crown in it, and they've plowed the snow on either side, it's awful easy to start descending. And once our tire gets caught in that snow, that's it. It's awful easy to compromise. And then we become comfortable. We're no longer embarrassed by our behavior. The things that we might put on Facebook that would be shameful 2 or 3 years ago in our Christian walk, no big deal now. We might go to Horseshoes every week and be around the booze and this and that and the guffawing and the slapping backs, whatever it takes. It doesn't bother us anymore because we've not only become complacent to the Word of God, but we've become very comfortable with our new friends, very comfortable with the new things we do, because I have chosen to compromise. The consequences of compromise, it affects relationships. It affects our fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. We become separated from Him. Our life becomes empty. Hello, our life may become like the Dead Sea. What about our friends? Then we try to witness to our friends and, ha ha, that's a good one, because we're as one that mocked. Because they've seen our compromised life. They don't want to have a thing to... They're looking for the truth. And it affects reality. Well, before that, even affects our family. Parents, is there a reason? Maybe your kids sometimes don't listen to you like they should. Because maybe we've compromised the Word of God. And you can't kid a kid. Consequences. Compromise affects reality once again. The only person that matters right now is Jesus Christ. The only thing that matters right now is what we do for Jesus Christ. And when we that's reality. The world says reality is barn building and getting the biggest and the best and doing things for me. But in reality, it is appointed unto man once to die, and when our heart stops beating, the only one that matters is Jesus Christ. The only things that matter are what we've done for Him. Nothing else matters. But when we compromise, it affects reality, because all of a sudden, Jesus isn't who He should be in our life. You know who takes the place of Jesus? Me. I'm the one. I'm going to fulfill my desires, and I'm going to compromise and fulfill my desires, my wants, my needs. And pretty soon, Jesus is out of the picture. And I'm going to do the things I want. And the things that Jesus wants me to do, they're no longer up here. They're way down here. Because I've chosen to compromise. The Bible gives a warning: beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men and after the rudiments of the world. The rudiments are principles. Traditions are what's transmitted from the world. And all we have to do is look at our TV, and what's transmitted through that picture of what the world's interested in, and all of a sudden we say, I got to get me some of that. And the Bible gets laid aside on the bookshelf, never to be opened again, because I'm too busy in seeing what the world has for me. Is it the world's fault? Is it the TV's fault? No, I have chosen. I have made a decision, a conscious decision, to compromise, to descend into a life of compromise. The Bible not only gives us a warning, but gives us an encouragement. Blessed are they that keep His testimonies, that seek Him with their whole heart. David says, with my whole heart have I sought Thee, and he prays, he cries out to God, oh, let me not wander from Thy commandments. David had the same problem we did. Compromise. And he's begging God, please don't let me wander from Your standards. Don't let me compromise Your statutes. Compromise is a choice, and it comes with consequences. Maybe some of us are awful cranky this morning or this last week. Maybe we can't get along with people. Maybe we can't get along with ourselves. We're preoccupied with what we are now comfortable in. What if this whole church knew what we had done with our lives this last week? Forget the church. What if, and I use those words, what if, loosely, what if God knew what I did with my life this last week? Oh my goodness, there's cause to be cranky. There's cause to be preoccupied with looking over our shoulder, hoping Dad doesn't find out because we've chosen to compromise. When we get saved, we leave that old life. When we get saved, we don't want to descend. We want to ascend unto the heights of glory. We want to ascend with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and exalt the Most High. Who in the world would want to go back to the world of bondage, the bondage of sin? And who in the world would want to go back and serve sin? Who would want to go back and produce bad fruit? We produce fruit every day. Who would want to go back and produce bad fruit? We know what's right. You don't need any pastor up here in the pulpit to tell you what's right and what's wrong. You've chosen to compromise. But aren't you glad God's merciful God? You know, Abraham rescued Lot, and Lot was rescued once. But not just once, God rescued Lot twice because he took him out of Sodom and Gomorrah. God wants to deliver each and every one of us this morning from compromise. He's given us the written word of God. We know what's right, once again, the standards of God, and it's for our own benefit. It's not to keep us under his thumb. It's for our own benefit to follow the word of God. He's given us the Son of God who created us, who died for us. He rose again for us. And he's all patient. He's all merciful. And you know what God's also given us? I like this. Proverbs 11, verse 14. Where no counsel is, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. Remember, fall is more or less to descend. And God's given us each other to hold each other accountable, to edify one another, build one another up so that we might ascend. But if we choose to separate ourselves from believers in Christ, we'll end up falling. I think every one of us can think of an example today of someone who separated themselves from the fellowship of Christ, from the fellowship of believers, and have fallen flat on their face today. They have chosen a life of compromise. We're going to have an invitation. Lot descended into a life of compromise near the Dead Sea. Lot chose to be separated from spiritual leadership and spiritual fellowship. He left Abram. He separated. Lot chose to pitch towards Sodom. Even with that internal conflict going on, he chose to pitch towards Sodom. And then he chose to live in Sodom. He chose to make concessions with the world and sin and compromise. Then Lot became extremely comfortable. Didn't even affect him anymore. He wasn't even ashamed. Out in the open, here I am, everybody. I'm living in Sodom. And Lot lost his family. Lot lost his testimony. Lot lost his spouse because of compromise. If you're here this morning and you've lost that joy that you once had, that joy of salvation, and you long for that relationship that you once had with Jesus Christ, it's not His fault. It's our fault. We have chosen to compromise. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23 says, "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering." In other words, without compromise. Let us choose to live a life this morning without torment. We don't have to. Let's ask God for forgiveness this morning. Ask Him to help us. Dear God, please help me. Give me the grace not to fall, not to descend into a life of compromise. And let's make purpose in our hearts. Say, I'm going to choose not to compromise. What song are we in?
394.
Page 394 this morning. Page 394. Perhaps you've compromised. Come forward this morning. Get it taken care of. God will forgive you and God will help you. 394. God is good. He will never leave us nor forsake us, no matter how much we've compromised. Like you said, he called Lot, just Lot, and a righteous man. God won't forsake you. He wants us desperately to come to him and trust him with everything. Let that come forward here. Come on up. This is Russell and Sarah Ellison. Russell is from Helena years ago and then moved to Alaska and then back to Washington and then over to Washington. They've moved back. And Sarah, you're from Washington, yeah, right? And so they've moved here and they... we could pray for Russell's dad. He's not saved. So we'll pray for Mr. Allison. Bill is his name. Yes, sir. But Russ and Sarah want to join the church. They're members of Foundation Baptist Church in Washington. Which town?
Sammamish.
Sammamish. And
That's okay.
they would like to join Liberty Baptist Church. They've been baptized in a Baptist Church of Like Faith and Order. And all those with uplifted right hands say, hey, we would love to have Russell and Sarah in this fellowship and join. Would you? What's that?
I was all nervous.
Yes, I was too. Not half as nervous as I was. You can put your hand. Anyone opposed and no opposees, welcome to Liberty Baptist Church. Welcome. So, would you like to say something?
No, I just said thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. Would you say thank you? Yeah. So I'd like to, Ramon, would you close us in prayer? And if you would, please, come forward and shake hands with Russ and Sarah, and welcome to Liberty Baptist. Thank you.